I'd like us to rise on our feet as we make welcome Dr. Shola Fola Alade from London, England. A mighty clap offering will do.
Hallelujah. Come on, jam your hands together for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright and the morning star, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, our ever-present help in the time of trouble, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Shammah, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the El Gibbon. Give him praise. He's the dew of Hermon, the lily of the valley. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the A to the Z and everything in between. Somebody give him praise. You can do better than that. He is the way maker, the miracle worker. Open your mouth and give him praise. The mountain leveler. There is none like him. There's none that can be compared to him. Give him praise. When we extol him, he shows up in a mighty way. We can do nothing without him. Give him praise, somebody. Worship him. Adore him. Celebrate him this morning. The King eternal, immortal, the invincible, and the only wise God. We give him honor and glory forever and ever. Some call him Yeshua Amashiach. Some others call him Jesus Christus. Where I come from, they call him Jesu Christi Oluwawa. Ami, ami, ami. Give him praise, somebody. Give him praise. 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 Lord, we adore you. We thank you for your awesome presence, and we thank you for the privilege of life and the honor and the privilege to serve you as vessels in your hand. Lord, even at this very conference, do in this place, in this nation, what only you can do. We know that this conference is a significant conference to the very, very life and blood of Christianity in this nation and in Africa. We pray by your Spirit, Father, Lord, that you would inject it with your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm glad to be sitting next to you. Amen. You may be seated in God's mighty presence. Hallelujah. It's a mighty privilege of mine to be here with you from the United Kingdom. I don't take this privilege at all lightly. Two and a half years ago, I actually met Apostle Arome, not physically, online. I am somebody who's very particular about who I watch, who I listen to. And you know how peculiar YouTube is. It pops up all sorts of things, you know, that, oh, this will be an interesting one. When I first saw his clip, I was like, who is this gentleman? I watched it for just a few minutes, and it caught my attention. From 3 minutes of watching a clip of his message, I knew that we had kindred spirit. He's a much younger man, but he's a man of great stature in the realm of the spirit. Phenomenal stature. I heard him say some things that I was like, wow, do they still preach this kind of messages? And it also brought hope back to me, you know, because the number of the things that he was talking about are the kind of things I've spoken about over the years, and people actually advised me to stop preaching about those kind of things. So I said, well, I've found my partner in crime. You know, when the Bible says that when Elizabeth saw Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, that was what happened to me. And the moment I saw that, I said, this man must come to the United Kingdom. And they, like they say, the rest is history. He came for a supernatural shift, and everything shifted. Every single thing shifted. That conference was a landmark conference because it was like a punctuation. After that conference, 2 or 3 days later, the COVID lockdown started all over the world. And, you know, things took a different turn for the better. I feel very, very strongly, and I'll say some things later on, that this particular mission of yours is going to be, and is, as it were, one of the greatest weapons in God's arsenal for this end time. Oh, no, no, that clap is very weak. Very, very weak. And if you don't fully understand that, that essentially means, well, because God doesn't use buildings, even though you have a very lovely building, you know, that means that when I say this ministry, if you're a part of it, that means it is you God is going to use. So I want you to listen very carefully and very intently. And I must say, this building is in itself is preaching a gospel. I have seen it on YouTube, but seen it in real life. I got filled with the Holy Ghost as I approached the building. And even though, you know, God doesn't dwell in with buildings made with hands, this particular one, I believe very, very strongly, attracts God. And it's a building that will stand anywhere in the world and stand out. So let's appreciate what God is doing and what he's yet to do in this place. I, you know, salute all the men and women of God. Salute every single person here present. But for sake of time, I'll just go straight into the word of God. I bring greetings from my lovely wife. If you've never seen my wife before, you've not met a beautiful woman yet. So before you die, make sure you ask God to make sure you see my wife. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles very quickly to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, quickly. The topic or the theme for this conference is very, very significant. It's the kind of topic that you hardly ever see at a conference. But it's the most significant theme or topic any church and every church should deal with. Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21. And then we would also look at a supporting text in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. And it says, in Isaiah 30, verse 21, I believe we're dealing with the personality of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 21 of Isaiah 30, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the left or to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Look at your neighbor and said, the Spirit of God will speak to you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. I'll have you know, it is one thing for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, it's another thing for you to do what he said to do. And it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will enable you to obey him in the mighty name of Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10, we're going to read our supporting text to give credence to the text. By the way, Pastor Noah, God bless you. Phenomenal word. I listened to the first part. I didn't hear the whole message, but I was charged and on fire. You say you don't, that you assassinate English. You don't. You speak better English than most of us. I live in the United Kingdom, and you speak better English than most of us. Let's appreciate his ministry very quickly. Acts 16, verse 6 to 10. And he says, and now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say forbidden. To preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Somebody say the Spirit did not permit them. So sometimes the Spirit forbids, at other times he does not permit. Similar thing. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go down to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. May the Lord bless the reading, but more so the doing of his words. Heavenly Father, we pray by your Spirit that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, and most importantly, open our spirits for the next phase of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. The title or the point of my deliberation this morning is essentially called Walking with the Spirit, Walking with the Holy Spirit. If I understand clearly, my host, Apostle Arome, says that the objective and the aim of this meeting is to have an understanding and have a participation with the Holy Spirit. I've only been a Christian for 32 years. And I said only because my aspiration in life is to match up with the giants of the faith like Derek Prince and Kenneth Hagin, who lived up to about 89 or so years, and perhaps, you know, were in ministry for 70 or something years. And I think I've only gotten up, you know, to almost halfway. So pray that I make it. But the point is this: the more I walk with God in years, the less I know of Him. And and why do I say that? The reason I say that is because many of us belong to churches and we hear messages, you know, the YouTube is replete with messages, and some of us might have gone to Bible school and all of that, and you would have heard a teaching on the Holy Spirit or the other. And so many a times when you hear about the Holy Spirit, someone talk about it, you already think you know what they are talking about. But let me say this, that when we read the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This scripture verse essentially shows that there are different graduations or levels of knowledge. I trained as a medical doctor and I went to a school. I would say, from my opinion, the best medical school in Africa. It's called the University of Ibadan, UCH. Okay, it's debatable, but I'm holding the mic now, so just agree with me. You know, and while I was at medical school, I had a few friends who were in the Department of Computer Science. The interesting thing is that the 3-4 years they were in the Department of Computer Science, when they were studying about computers, they had only seen one computer. And that computer was supposedly one very ancient computer that they were only allowed to see maybe once a month. And they were not allowed to touch it. I think they called it a mainframe or something to that effect. I'm talking about the early 80s. And so, the likes of us who were in the university, they would come and tell us, this computer can do this kind of thing. So, we only heard about the computer. He said, that which we have heard. We only heard about the computer. And then he says, that which we have seen. Now, I mean, well, I only heard about the computer from my friends in computer science, but I had seen computers on TV. When you see things about Bill Gates in those days, 1980s and all of that stuff, you know, we saw computers. But you know what? I didn't know computers. It's one thing to hear about computers. It's another thing to see computers. It's another thing to know about. No computers. But you and I know also that there must be another level. I remember one of those days while I was at, university, one of those breaks. I think they still have those things where they shut down universities. What do they call those? Strikes, yes. So my ASU strike. Don't worry, they had them then. you are still on. Okay. Okay. You are still in that dispensation. 30 something years on. May God deliver us from evil. And so anyway, long story short, you know, one of those ASU strikes, my dad was a disciplinarian, so he would not allow us, you know, just look around. So he said, you are going to enroll in a computer school. So in that time, I had the opportunity to, as it were, look upon a computer. He says, that which we have looked upon, because the honest fact was that they won't allow us really play with it. So we got a closer range. And now, In relation to what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, many of us, as it were, have not just, we've heard about him, we've seen people, you know, operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. But in a ministry like this, many of you have been close range to look upon it, as it were. But my prayer and my objective is that after this conference, you'll be able to say, and our hands have handled it. Is this making sense? Yes. And our hands have handled it, whereby it is your own personal experience. And yeah, I mean, today, if you compare myself 30 something years back, almost 40 years back, and my relationship with computers, and my own children, that when they were 10 or less, they had iPads. It is my prayer that the same way the computer has become the norm, even on every phone, that is how the Holy Spirit will become democratized in your life. Amen. As I speak this morning, what I want to speak about, so that you can handle, that where you'll be able to apply and handle, is I want to talk about not just my walk with the Holy Spirit, but the adventures, my adventures with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this, I personally believe that one of the main things that the Holy Spirit has come to do in the life of a man is what Jesus said. He says in Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, he says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What this essentially is saying is this. This is Jesus speaking, and you and I know that Jesus is, as it were, the prototype or the template, but he promised us an advocate, a counselor, a helper. And after he goes, his spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, as it were, because Jesus is not here physically present for us to follow, he's the one, the Holy Spirit is the one we are to follow. You agree? But then here he says, follow me and I will make you. I personally believe that one of the primary responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is the making of men. And the reason why I want to emphasize this is that if God does not make you, he cannot use you. In fact, let me put it this way. One man said many years ago, it is called Bill Hammond, they call him the father of prophets. He says, it takes about 20 years to make a prophet. It takes about 20 years to make a man of God. I mean, of course, 3, 4, 5 years, you may still be a man of God, but a man of God that God can use and depend on upon. So when you see the likes of Apostle Arome, as it were, listen to this, you really want to thank and celebrate God. Why? Because it has taken many years, many, many years, to make and prepare such a man. But you know what? God is looking for and searching for people amongst us. Right now, he's making you. Look at somebody next to you and say, God is making me. I mean, I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago. I mean, I don't know where Apostle Arome was then. I mean, we both ministered at Wafbeck. And he said something very interesting. I wasn't able to sit in any of the sessions, but I watched, you know, his sessions. And he said, a few years ago, he pointed somewhere in the conference, isn't it? Yeah. Even Pastor Kodju didn't know that. Pastor Kodju is my old-time friend. I've known him for over 40 years. And he pointed somewhere, I said, that was his seat, that particular place. Now, we celebrate him today. But you know what? Some 20 or so years ago, he was sitting where you sat. I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are, and I want you to begin to pray and speak to yourself and say, Holy Spirit, locate me, make me, and prepare me to be one of your arsenals to be used in this generation. But the thing is that if you're going to be made or used by the Holy Spirit, you have to submit to the making of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, what will he do? He will exalt you. Many of you, I don't know if there's anybody here that knows Nathaniel Bassey. I guess the question should be the other way. I don't know if there's anybody here who does not know Nathaniel Bassey. Now, let me say this to you. I mean, it's interesting that I can say that. Is there anybody here who does not know Nathaniel Bassey? Why? Because 27 years ago, when nobody knew him, I knew him. He was an ordinary member of the church somewhere in our church. We had the same, it was my church, but I was sent out on missions to the United Kingdom, and he was one of the instrumentalists, a trumpeter. Nobody knew him. Long story short, what I'm trying to say is that we had the same pastor, Pastor Escor Mfom, who's late now. And the point I'm trying to make, when you hear Nathaniel's testimony, you will hear that he was somebody that was made by the Holy Spirit. You and I hear Nathaniel blow a trumpet, yeah? And we are blessed by the music, and we come into God's presence. I mean, CNN carried him, you know, he's had a million views on Instagram or this or that and all of that stuff, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? There are other people blowing trumpet today. What's the difference? Nathaniel Bassey doesn't just blow a trumpet. The real story about Nathaniel Bassey is that the Holy Spirit blows him. Hello? The Holy Spirit blows him. And what do I mean by that? Listen to this. He's been so submitted to the Holy Spirit and walked with the Holy Spirit that it is the Holy Spirit that has made him what he is today. I don't have time to speak and tell you, but you know, I know Nathaniel Bassey, and he has told about his testimony many times about how his ambition was to be, you know, a star. He actually used to play, you know, secular music. He would go to various gigs and jazz clubs and stuff like that. And he was still an instrumentalist in the church until the Holy Spirit forbade him from doing that. He even had an ambition to go to, you know, go abroad to the best music school in the world called Berklee School of Music. And when the door eventually opened, you know what? The Holy Spirit restrained him and told him not to go. Time will not permit me, you know, because that's not my message today. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. The Holy Spirit, the guy that we know today as Nathaniel Bassey, that we celebrate, it is because he allowed the Holy Spirit to prevail on him. It is my prayer that God will open up your heart and open up your spirit, and that this Holy Spirit that we are speaking about, as it were, you will be able to handle him, but actually, in a better grammatical sense, you will allow him handle you. So very quickly, I'm going to talk about four dimensions of the Holy Spirit that, by the grace of God, you will soon begin to handle. The first is that the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about the person and the plan, or the prescription of the Holy Spirit. The person and the plan and the prescription of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of John 14, verse 17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Long story short, what the scripture is saying, it keeps saying him, not it, isn't it? Which essentially means is that he's a person or a personality. And he says that the world does not see him, but you do. Okay, now, let me. When I talk about the person and the plan of the Holy Spirit, one of the best ways to explain this is, in England, okay, I came into Makurdi for my first time. I don't know anywhere in Makurdi. And if I wanted to explore Makurdi, you say, oh, there's this, the governor's house, this and that, you know. How would I go about finding those places? In the old days, we used to use what we call a map. In England, there are what maps that they call A to Z. You buy them, you open them. This is the old days, those days. And you pull it out, and if you are driving on the far, somebody, you need somebody to be helping you read the map, as it were. But anyway, I will need a map, and I will need, you know, that to navigate my way. The second option is that, how many of you are from Makurdi here? And you know your way to the governor's house. Put up your hands. Only 7 of us. Okay. Now, the better option for me will be to say, can I have somebody who knows Makurdi? Can you please take me to the governor's house? If you are given the option between the map and the guide, who will you take? What will you take? Thank you very much. The Bible is the map. The Holy Spirit is the guide. The Bible is the map, and the Holy Spirit is the guide. And this is one way that to ascertain or discern what kind of spirit that is really leading you. If you think or say you have the Holy Spirit and is leading you by another map, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Because the Holy Spirit only, as it were, navigates by the map of the Bible. Let me take it further to you so that, let me bring it home to you, because many of you may not know, I don't think you've ever used a map before like that to navigate where you're going to. Now, let me tell you, I believe technology mimics the realm of the Spirit. You know Google Maps. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit is like Google Maps. If I want to go to the governor's office today, I just put on Google Maps and I begin to go. And what will he say? Turn left. In 3 minutes, turn right. Except it doesn't work like that in Nigeria. Is that how it works? That's how the Holy Spirit works. Now, the problem with that, or the good thing is that if you're able to stay on track and in line with the instructions, you will get there in the time he says you will. That from here to the governor's place is 5 or 10 minutes. You will get there in that time. But if you make the mistake of not listening to the last instruction, where I say turn right. I say turn right. If you don't turn right, has your map ever told you, turn right? I say turn right. Does it keep repeating itself? Oh, yours doesn't repeat itself. Oh, okay, maybe you have a different type here. It repeats itself for a short while. After a while, when you don't listen, it will stay silent. Then what it does is it recalibrates. Then you know what? When it recalibrates, it gives you a longer journey time. That is what happens when you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was going to my son's school after church one day. And the journey said that I would get there in 1 hour. It was a very special day. It was his prize-giving day. And I was driving using my satellite navigation and Google Maps. And the boy had been telling, he said, Dad, Mom, please, you can't be late this time. When your son is telling you that, you know, it's not a good thing. He said, you can't be late this time because I'm taking a prize and I don't want you to miss it. But, you know, we are busy. And those days are usually right after church and, you know, canceling and all of that. Anyway, long story short. And so he kept texting me and said, Dad, where are you? And then I'll say, I'm 15 minutes away. I'm 15 minutes away. And then the map told me to take a left. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. And I just passed the turning. And then he just said, take a left turn. I still didn't take it. And then I passed the turning. Then all of a sudden, I saw the thing was recalibrating. And then the next thing he says, you will be there in 1.5 hours. When he now called me, I said, Dad, where are you? I said, don't worry, I'm on my way. What I'm trying to say to you essentially is this. Listen to this. It is important for us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Some of us, unfortunately, have had 10 years added to our journey. Some have had 20 years added to their journey because they missed the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible puts it this way in the book of Lamentations. It says, it is good for a man to bear the yoke or his yoke in his youth. This essentially means, you know what a yoke is? It's a harness that is put on one experienced animal and also on the neck of a younger animal. And wherever that experienced animal wants to go to, as it were, the younger one, because it's yoked to it, has to go with it. Walking with the Holy Spirit is like a yoke, which means there are some places that you will want to go that the Holy Spirit will not want you to go to. And there are some places you don't want to go to, but because you are yoked with him, he will take you to those places. The Bible puts it this way in the book of Acts chapter 8 verse 29. It says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. It says in Acts 16 verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel there. Now, if Paul was looking to sleep with a prostitute or somebody that was not his wife, I can understand why the Holy Spirit would want to forbid him. But in this instance, it was said that he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Which means, as a minister, it is not everywhere that the Holy Spirit will allow you to preach. As we go along, I would explain what I mean to you. I had a very, very, very powerful, what you would call an open door to preach in America sometime. Maybe I should say that now. And this, the platform I was given, in my own opinion, it was one of the biggest platforms ever. This platform I'm speaking about, I mean, the likes of Dr. Miles Morrow, you know of him, I'm sure. John Bevere, yeah? And so on and so. They spoke at that conference regularly. And I was given the opportunity to speak at that conference. So in my own mind, when I stood, I'm talking about 17 years ago, when I stood at that platform, I thought to myself, I've blown. Or I am about to blow. I will show you later on in a few minutes how the Holy Spirit told me never to take an invitation there again. But let me go back to when I was younger, because it's a journey. One of the first experiences I had with the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about 2 days into my being a born-again Christian, 1990, March 20-something. I woke up one morning after praying, and I heard that a certain girl, a friend, supposed of mine, was in town, an old friend. You know what I mean? Okay? And I woke up in the morning and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, don't go out today. And I said, why? He said, because you are going to meet a witch today. Now, because I was not acquainted with the ways of the Holy Spirit, not that I am a stubborn person. Does that make sense? Well, because I'm not acquainted by the ways of the Holy Spirit, I just thought, what's the big deal? I can go out if I want to. My life is my life. Nobody has any whatever on me. So you know what I did? I went out. But as I was going out of the gate, just as I got to the gate, I saw two boys on evangelism, yeah, giving out tracts. And as I came out, one of them gave me a tract. He did not say one word. And the tract on the tract was a design of, you know, the judge's mallet. That thing that they use in. And on the thing, he said, guilty. Just as I stepped out of the gate, guilty. I said, guy, this is my own mind. I went. Long story short. When I got to the place, this girl, first of all, grabbed me with her whole body and squeezed me. I don't know if you're... Are you spiritual enough to understand that? Or maybe you are too spiritual. She grabbed me, squeezed me, and rubbed herself. This one is not laying hands by the Holy Spirit. And then bottom line was saying that, I had you just became born. I said, you won't be born again soon. After this experience. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she took me upstairs to her, because she's my friend, took me upstairs to her room. And when I got there, the first thing she said to me was that she said, I want to show you something that was given to me as an award in university. And I was like, what's that? She said, this is it. And she brought something like, how they give trophies. And she When she presented it to me, guess what it was? It was a judge's mallet. A wooden judge's mallet with her name on it. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit just spoke? And what did he say there? What was it he was saying? Would you believe I still didn't leave that house? Because I still didn't know the ways of the Holy Spirit. I thought I could negotiate and say, look, Lord, understand now. I'm not going to stay here for long. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I spent the night there. Now, when I say I spent the night there, I mean not to do anything with that. It's actually my friends and stuff like that. So they're like family, friends and stuff. That night, I had the greatest witchcraft attack of my life. Where an old woman came out of somebody's body, came to me while I was sleeping, and all that pinched my hip here. Just a pinch. Nobody else saw it. I saw it. Pinch my... When I jumped up and shouted, yeah! Not ouch. You know, there's the ouch pain. And then there's the yay one. When witches pinch you, you don't shout ouch. You will not believe this. For the next 4 days, I was limping physically. Like this. That's what you call an affliction. That was my first class in obedience 101 of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that after that one, if they tell you don't go somewhere, you won't go again? A few years later, I was now in England. I have many stories, but I would just tell you a few for sake of time. I was now back in I was now in England. This must have been 5 or 6 years later. I was single. I was in Bible school, and single, of course, believing God for a future partner. And I was searching. And so, my Bible school is at the end of like, you take a train there. It's called the underground, the tube. And it's at the end of the line of this tube line. And as I got in this particular day, I got into the, train. Because it's at the end, I was the only one in the train. And then when I stepped into the train, I thought I was the only one. Then I saw a girl there. And the interesting thing about it was that the girl was a very pretty girl. And then I then remembered, okay, I'd seen her before in the Bible school. She was in the year below mine. And so, what do you think? I'm looking for a future partner. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit just ordered my steps? What do you think? Huh? Sorry? Peter, rise, kill and eat. Precisely. Peter, rise, kill and eat. So Peter was about to rise to kill and eat when the Holy Spirit said, don't talk to her. And I was like, okay, you mean don't talk to her now. So I understand. I understand. I went back to my seat and sat down. Now, it was a long ride to my destination, about an hour. And the thing about the London Underground is that as it's going, it starts going on, it starts out surface, then it starts going underground. And so between the stations, there's darkness. Maybe in about 1, 2, or 3 minutes in darkness, then it comes out into the station light. Ha! I'm like, if you are carnal, you can think of all sorts. You don't understand. You are in this place with this lady, just you and her, and then there's darkness for a while. And not that I was thinking of doing anything, suspicious, but it was just a strange one. At least just talk to her. The Holy Spirit said, don't talk to her. And this went for 1 hour. And then when I got to my station, I came off. And I started to, I thought, okay, maybe the Holy Spirit will say, now talk to her. And then he said, keep going. keep going. Don't look back. Don't talk to her. I said, I won't see her again. He said, keep going. Don't talk to her. And as I was going, all of a sudden, somebody ran up behind me and tapped me on the back. She just, and it was this lady. I was like, said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, can I talk to you? Can I come and see you? I said, yes. I said, okay, yeah, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He didn't want me to talk to her. He wants her to talk to me. Long story short, I mean, I'm a pastor, so I thought, okay, better. He wants her to see me in my office. I booked her to come and see me this Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. So Wednesday is my canceling day. And I went, it was about 2 days later. And I usually would fast and pray on that day. And I fasted and prayed and slept. And then as I was waking up from my sleep, I heard in my right ear, she's a prostitute. I looked around. Who? There's nobody in this place. Who is a prostitute? And then he said, you know who I'm talking about. So I'm like, that fine girl. So got to counseling. If it was you, what would you do? She was sat in front of me, and then she kept talking about, speaking with very good accent, blah, blah. She actually, very, very articulate, well put together, well done, and everything. She was talking, blah, 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 blah. And the Holy Spirit said, tell her. I said, tell her. And then as she was talking, I then summoned the courage to now tell her. I said, Holy Spirit said to tell you that you are, I had to move my face back in case she slapped me, that you are a prostitute. And then she went, yes, it's true. So I moved from back to front with confidence. Now, you are a prostitute. Then she said, hey, it's very true. And then the Lord told me to tell her that, and that he said, if you don't stop what you are doing, you are going to have HIV and die. He said, he has told me before. Here was a lady who was a very pretty, she was actually a model. In my own estimation, that would have been a good wife. That's why the Bible says there is a way that seems right to the man, but the end of it is what? This is why he said, there are times the Holy Spirit will forbid you. And that forbidding will not make sense. While he's forbidding you, you will be saying, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Why eat? You will find out it will run your belly. And so, that's how I was delivered from that evil. May the Lord deliver you from many evils. Amen. Number two is that the Holy Spirit... The first I said is, number one, what? The person and what? The plan of the Spirit. The second is the purity and the standards of the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Look at your neighbor, say, be holy. As he is holy. This brings me to a very important point. The first, like I said, is the person, the Holy Spirit also. He's a person, and the person has a plan. Like you have plans, he has a plan. And most times, your plan will not align with his plan. So you will have to align with what? His own plan and jettison your own. The second thing is that it's about the purity and the standards of the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit has standards. And because he's a person and he's your guide, if you don't keep to his standards, you can grieve him. What do I mean by that? The Bible puts it this way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed the day of redemption. Now, that's a very strong word. Somebody say, grieve. Look at your neighbor and say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the word grieve mean? It means to offend, to feel sorrow. Like when somebody dies or there is a divorce. When somebody dies, we feel grief. God forbid, when people divorce, There is, you know, people say that divorce is like death. It's like you knew this person personally, intimately. Now they've died to you, so you feel a sense of grief. Now, if the Bible is using a strong word like the word grief, you know what? When he says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit," which means don't let the Holy Spirit feel like as though you have divorced from Him. Does that make sense? Or let's put it this way: don't do anything that will make the Holy Spirit want to divorce Himself from you. Let me explain what I mean. So there are two words I'm going to show you. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he uses another word and he says, do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I will show you what quench is in a short while. There are two different words. In my experience, amongst many, I will tell you when I first grieved the Holy Spirit. I was, again, in university, the University of Ibadan. I'd only been a Christian maybe 2 months. I didn't know much. 3 months. I still don't know very much, but I knew a lot less then. And I remember I was walking towards the university gate after fellowship. And then it was in the afternoon. I then decided, there's a brother who gave his life maybe like 2-3 years earlier. And, you know, we all used to be party boys those days. So I said, okay, let me go and hang out with him. And so I got to, in university, they have what they call quarters. Yeah, some people stay in quarters, some stay in hall. He was in quarters. And so I knocked on the door. When I knocked on the door, nobody answered, but I'd been hearing some movement inside. I knocked on the door again. Nobody answered. I heard some people scrambling. I was like, what's happening? I tried to open the door. The door was locked. I said, maybe they are praying. I knocked harder again. After a while, what do you think was happening there? Counseling. Peter was killing and eating. And so they opened the door. And what did I say? I saw a sister there. And then they were both talking there, you know, all that other stuff. So, I was like, okay, what exactly? This brother, so and so now. And he said, whatever in the fellowship is supposed to be strong. Anyway, I should have taken heed. I didn't. I just sat down there and they began to talk. Shola, let me give you some advice. You know, you're a new Christian. This, that. I'm like, okay. I'm not sure what just happened here. But this advice you are giving. Anyway, I still sat down there and they kept talking. Both of them were talking. And you know what? The talk went into talk and gossip about pastors. And then they began to talk about the pastor of the church I was going to. And they began to tell me, also, don't you know, is this, is that, is this. I said, I didn't know. In fact, okay, I noticed some things. And then you went from noticing something. Okay, his wife is like that. Okay, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think anything of it. As I left the place, you know what? As I was walking out of the place, I started looking for the usual presence that I felt of the Holy Spirit. It had left me. It's like you turn on your Google Maps and there is no voice. Look, you cannot understand. It was like as though somebody had died. I said, Holy Spirit, where are you? No voice. Holy Spirit, where are you? No voice. For the next 3 to 4 to 5 days, I was praying earnestly. He didn't say a word. And then I traced my steps back to when last did I hear his voice? I remember this before I entered that room. Tell somebody next to you, say, don't enter just any room. And also tell them, be careful who you speak with. I had to cry and beg before his voice came back again. And then there was where I understood what it meant to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then that was when I understood that little things can grieve him. And so there are certain conversations, when people are having them, I don't put my mouth. Because I respect my relationship with the Holy Spirit. There was another incident, another account. This was some years back, maybe about 8 to 10 years back. A friend of mine, somebody sent me a clip on Facebook or something, and it was something about a pastor who had divorced his wife. We knew he divorced his wife, but this was maybe about 1.5 years prior, and we were not happy about the divorce. But this time, the thing that was sent to me on Facebook said that this pastor what was shown was that he just remarried. What do you think? I'm asking your opinion. What do you think about that? Within about a year and a half, 2 years, what do you think? Well, don't think much. I will tell you why not to think much. Because I thought, how can he marry after just 2 years? Who is he? Why will he do such a thing? First of all, a divorce is a bad thing. It's bringing disrepute to the church, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, now he's marrying again and marrying immediately. He should have waited 3, 4, 5 years. Then I now took that Facebook clip and I sent it, not to everybody, just the pastors in my ministry, just 3, 4, the key pastors. I said, see this man, see what he, how can he be doing this kind of thing? This is an example of what we shouldn't be doing. I said, but let us pray for him. How many of you know that we Christians, that's how we used to condone our rubbish? That night I slept. By the grace of God, last year my wife and I celebrated 24 years in marriage. No, thank you, but I didn't say that because it's not by my own. So at that time, so maybe we're about maybe 14 years thereabout. As I went to bed that night and slept, and my eyes were closed, a spirit entered my room. And it was I said, what are you doing here? He said, I am the spirit of divorce. I said, what's your concern inside my room? He said, and we have come to start working on you. Ah! I said, how? He said, we have come. He said, my assignment. I said, you don't have a right here. He said, I have. I said, I am a pastor. He said, I said, my wife and I are marriage counselors. He said, so what? He says, we've started our work already. I said, what? And I said, get out of here. It didn't move. And then the Lord reminded me that I had opened the door earlier on in the day. What was the door? When I spoke against another man of God's marriage. The Bible says in the book of Galatians 6, it says, when somebody else is overtaken by a trespass, what does he say? He says, we who are more spiritual should do what? In the spirit of gentleness, less what? Less what? That same spirit. The spirit of divorce was what was worrying him. Apparently, I wasn't gentle. So that spirit found a way into my room. And then the Holy Spirit said, I grieved him by that. And when he's grieved, another spirit comes in. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. This place is too quiet. I know you are listening. Now, what I am saying that sounds funny, listen to this. He said, thank God, God opened my eyes. I then found out that it is really the Holy Spirit that is holding all of us. That we are celebrating 24 years. Every year I celebrate. Remember, I kneel down and thank God. I celebrated 30 years in ministry. I said, thank God, oh, it is only by your grace I stand. Which means he's the one that has been protecting us all this while. If he removes his hand, a spirit of failure will come. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Say, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that I will not fail, I will not fall, I will not falter. I will be kept by the Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Then, the second word I want to look at is quenching the Holy Spirit. Grieving is different from quenching. The word quench means to put out or to extinguish as in fire, or to cool suddenly by plunging into water or into fluid. You came at the right time when I'm talking about water. To quench something, before you can quench something, it means it was on fire before. And so when the Bible says do not quench, listen to this. If you think grieving the Spirit is bad, quenching is terrible. Because grieving is like a wife that has been offended that is not talking to you for a few days. She will talk to you again. Quenching means to extinguish. The person lives your life. There was fire before and they threw water on it. Anyway, long story short, I got born again in 1991, the first year, I was on crazy fire. I was on discerning of spirit. Before somebody comes, the Holy Spirit would have told me. I was hearing his voice like Google Maps on, you know. Anyway, I graduated from uni. And then my father now decided to take me on a trip with him to Canada as a reward for passing out of medical school. And while we were, you know, in the hotel room in Canada, the first few days I would pray in the bathroom because my dad didn't want, he wasn't a Christian. He said that nonsense thing that you're always talking about. Please don't say near me. So out of respect, I'll go to the bathroom and I'll be praying. After a while, you know, when you're hiding all the time, and I was also following him to various functions and things, eating and all of that. After a while, I forgot my praying and all of that. So, you know, I said, the Holy Spirit understands. And then we were there for about a week or two. So my Bible study too went down, as it were. I said, the Holy Spirit understands. Have you ever said that before? I now got to England because we left Canada and we now came to London. And so he left me there and I was in England for about a month or so. And while I was there, I was going to this church. And this church was a funky church. I will ask them, is there any prayer here? A place where we can do intercession? They started laughing at me. Say, you are too spiritual. So why do you need that? We already pray here. We are full of the Holy Spirit. There's no need for all of that. You know, just have fun in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, while I was walking around, they said, won't you? I said, no. I said, I'm fasting today. They laughed. Jesus already fasted for us. Say, are you the one that killed Jesus? Anyway, long story short. So I started taking the temperature of the people around me. You know, but I was still keeping some, you know what I mean? Then one day, we went on what they call a trip, like a coach trip to an amusement park. There were a number of church people on the coach. I didn't know most of them. I just went. It was a church event. As I came down from the coach, I just saw one girl. All she was doing was standing. As I came down, I said, Holy Spirit, it's all over. I am finished. I said, look for another man of God from today onwards because I'm going with this one. This is how I started going around with the girl. I mean, we didn't tell you, but you know, I said, pretty girl like this, blah, blah, blah. To cut a long story short, I had one more week in London. For the next 1 week, this girl was tormenting me by a spirit, but which was not the Holy Spirit. She would call me on the phone and tell me, look, you only have a few days left. Just come and lie with me, like Potiphar's wife. Lie with, and she would tell me all sorts of things. And then I say, no, I'm a believer. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm actually, God is training me to be this. Look. My father in the Lord used to say, if you will not eat the fruit, don't touch the leaves. And so I will not yield. Then I will go back there again. Oh, so you know, I say, come. My auntie has gone away. Blah, blah, blah. Like the woman in Proverbs. We even have a swimming pool. We can swim together. I say, no. The Holy Ghost will not allow. Eventually, One day I just said to the Holy Spirit, I said, well, this is where I take my leave now. Because if you stay, this, you know the problem with Eve? Eve should never have stayed to listen to the serpent. The more the serpent talks to you, the more you begin to ponder and think about it. So I now agreed to meet, we both agreed to meet somewhere. Again, by train. And so I was coming from this place and she was coming from that place, and we were to meet at the train platform at 6 p.m. And as I was going, I said, Holy Ghost, I'm just saying bye-bye to you now, because you will find another man. But then there was something in me that knew that, look, I really didn't want to do this, but it seemed like my defenses had been weakened. So on my way there, I just branched by some brother's house. I said, please, I just came here to tell you that me, I'm going to sin. Don't try and convince me, but I just want you to pray with me. That the sin will not be too bad. But I don't want you to convince. Don't say anything. That's not why I came here. Let's join us together. Just pray with me that God will help me. So they did. And as you know, and I left the place. I said, don't pray, don't say, just pray. Anyway, long story short, we got to the place. Well, remember I said we were supposed to get there at 6 p.m. I got to the place, got down from my train. We were supposed to meet at a particular station. By 1 minute to six, I just had fire alarm. Fire. What? Get out of the station. I ran out of the station. Ran out. I said, that girl, she's still... I have to go and meet her. I ran back. And then the police people pushed. They said, no, you must go out. There's fire. I said, where is the fire? They said on platform six. What platform six? Platform six is where we were supposed to meet. How many of you know that there was some external forces acting? So I was still, you know, but I was still perturbed, and I still went back again. What exactly is happening? Anyway, it was later, like 12 midnight at night. Eventually, I called her. Where are you? What happened? She said, you will not believe it. As my train was coming into the station, fire cut the tracks, her own tracks of her own train. How many of you know the Holy Spirit? How many of you would like that kind of intervention? See you. Which means there was somewhere you are planning on going to. Now, I said all of... I'm taking my time, to say all these things because... I will give you scriptures. You know scriptures. You've heard them. You've seen them. I'm giving you things that you will forever handle. The Lord delivered me from that evil. But let me tell you the problem. After that day, I was never the same. The kind of fire that I had before, the kind of experiences I had before, I looked for them. I didn't find them. Did I sleep with the lady? No. I had quenched the Holy Spirit. You will not believe that it took me about a year and a half to get back to that point. Which means, listen, some of us feel it is when you are caught with somebody else in a bedroom somewhere. No, well, for some people. And that's why I don't understand how some people can do whatever they want, and come back and just jump on the pulpit and say, hey, they are toxic three people. The fire of God is here. Receive. Listen to this very carefully. It's not that the fire won't move. But the Bible says, what scares me about this is this. The Bible said something about Samson. The Bible says, Samson stood up, shook himself as before. and thought he could go out. He says, but he did not know that the Holy Spirit had left him. It is sad to say, unfortunately, that there are many supposed men of God that don't know that the Holy Spirit has left them. So we, you and I, call them men of God, man of God, man of God. But you know what? In the realm of the Spirit, they are just men. The of God has left. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Say, Holy Spirit, help me never quench you. Oh, just speak to him for the next minute. Help me never quench you. Help me never quench you. Help me never quench you. Amen. As I continue with the purity and the standards of the Holy Spirit, I need a timer. I can't see a timer. I really need some kind of... Where is it? Okay. I don't know when I started, so somebody needs to tell... Yeah. Hallelujah. You just let me know how much time I have left. Some years ago, while I was in England, I went on a retreat. I had to drive about 2.5 hours. So, let's just say, here in Makurdi, 2.5, 3 hours in one direction. Let's say towards, will you get to Kano, or where would it be? But, where? Lokoja? Lafia. No, what farther than that? So, a remote area where there was nobody. I went there because I wanted quiet. It's like saying going, but I booked a hotel that nobody knew about. I wanted to pray. But on the way there, I was listening to a message, and all I kept hearing was Genesis 17 that said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou blameless. And I was like, okay, what are you saying, Lord? And he said, well, when Abraham turned 99, he said, walk before me and be thou. So I got to the hotel, and when I got to the hotel, I was thinking to myself, thank you. I was thinking to myself, okay, no problem. Before I start my retreat tomorrow, I start fasting, I'm going to go and eat. How many of you know that last supper will be is a kill and die supper? You know what I mean? You order everything, chicken, spaghetti, just everything, jamming everything. And so I was getting, I was now going down towards the, whatever downstairs. And as I was going down, I checked the whatever. There were two restaurants. One was a serious restaurant where they were serving big food. I saw the, the other one was a small restaurant serving small things like sandwich, Which one will you go to? The big one, eh? Now, this trip was, because it's an official retreat, was paid for by the church. So as I was going down, the Holy Spirit said, don't go to the big restaurant, go to the small one. I said, when I'm fasting tomorrow. This is what you call divine opportunity. And I heard the voice stronger again, say, don't go to the big restaurant, go to the small one. And as I was going, I said, why? It then reminded me that there were some two politicians, husband and wife, who had a case. That was a public case that was on television. They were called the Hamiltons. And they were found guilty because they said they gave cash for something. They paid, there was some scandal with Alfaya, the owner of Harrods and all of that. And the point that they found them guilty on, they couldn't find them, was that the rich Alfaya invited them to a hotel and they just ate anyhow. Is that a crime? It's like they showed the hotel, but you know how lawyers know how to. I know there's a lawyer here. They may not find you guilty on this area, but they will show your greed. So they ordered two whatever of steak. They ordered 5 plates of this. They ordered. So God said, if you go there, that's what they will say about you one day. I said, okay. I don't know how this will happen, but let me go to this small restaurant. So I was sat in this small restaurant. There was nobody else in the restaurant. I was eating my little sandwich, something, with annoyance. And Within 10 minutes of my sitting down and eating this little meal, somebody starts walks into the door. Very peculiar walk. I said, ha! It's a lie. I said, this is impossible. Who was it? I said, this cannot be Dr. Oke Onuzo. Have you heard of Dr. Oke Onuzo before? Okay. So he's one of my spiritual mentors, has been for years. I could not believe it. It's like Dr. Akpami coming into a place that you didn't know, nobody knows. You ran away because you don't want anybody. He walked into this place and he said, how are you? What are you doing here? I said, sir, I came to a place I don't want to see anybody. He laughed. He sat down. I said, sir, if I came here and you walked into this place, God has something for you to say to me. He said, this is the way he talks. He says, they are asking in heaven, who can we use? Who can we use? He said, because they are looking and they can't find. He said, all the Lord has to say to you is that, walk before me and be thou blameless. That was all he said. He said, because they are looking, he said, if you look around, they are looking for, and they can't find. They can't find. Can they find you? Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully. What if I went to that restaurant where they are serving big food? I would not have seen him. We were in the same hotel. And as I was walking upstairs, you know, I was walking with fear and trembling. And then the Spirit of the Lord says, I'm going to begin to judge men of God. And when he said that judge, fear caught me because I thought judgment was just immorality. Stealing money and all. And then the Lord said, no, I'm going to begin to judge. He says, even on little things. And that it is in the little things that you will see the big things. As I got into my room, before I got into the room, the Lord now told me, said, and judge to the point where men of God will even end up in jail. As I got into my room, I turned on the television. I said, before I go on my fast, let me watch the last news. What was it? A man called Jeffrey Archer, a politician, had just been jailed. Jeffrey Archer is a known author. We read his books in those days. Had just been jailed. And when he was jailed, the Lord told me, spoke very clearly to me. He says, as this man is jailed and disgraced, this is how many men, certain men of God are going to begin to be jailed and disgraced soon. My retreat started from that night. I lay down on the floor begging God to cut a long story short. It didn't take long. I say this with all care and sensitivity. That was when they now started interrogating churches and pastors. They started trying to find blame. It was a serious thing. I mean, some of you might have heard about some of these things. You know, some of our big, notable pastors, serious. Then shortly after, another pastor, one of the ones, that church that I said I used to go, that I went to, that they were dancing. I said, hey, you're fasting, man. Fasting is not for today. Jesus has already fasted for you. The pastor was caught with sexual scandals. Supposed, this is what the, you know, money improprieties and all of that. According to them, he was jailed. He was jailed. You know, my father in the Lord, Pastor Adeboye, used to tell us in those days, I was a redeemed pastor for 23 years before the Lord asked me to leave, and I left honorably. But when that man speaks, I listen. And he said one time, he said, he was praying, and while he was praying, he was walking on the beach. The Lord told him to draw a man, you know, on the ground. He drew the man. The Spirit of God said, says, that same man, wipe him with your feet. He wiped him with his feet. He says, the same way you created that man, you made that man and wiped him, is the same way I made you and I can wipe you in one day. Is this making sense?
Oh, yeah.
He says, whatever anybody is saying about you today, I made you. And the same way you saw that man and then you wiped him, is the same way people will forget you. They won't even remember you again. We have, by the grace of God, you know, a vibrant church in London. We finished service one day, and as I was going back home, I happened to pass by the church of this pastor that I said ended up in jail. Very unfortunate incident. Because he's actually a generous man. And then I passed by another church, who that pastor that I said divorced, remember? Yeah? And this first church was now a furniture shop. This second one was now, had been bought over and was turned into a mosque. And now they were trying to sell it. And people who are, is it what they call that? Gambling, casino, were already bidding for it. And then the Lord said to me, remember the church, the seven churches, Philadelphia. Remember them?
Yeah.
Laodicea. Name another one for me, Smyrna, and so on and so forth. You remember I kept saying, he who has the what? Ears. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then one of them, I believe it was the Ephesian church, says, do this lest I, before I come and take away your candlestick, that's quench my fire. Those churches, listen to this, when you go to Turkey today, because it's in Turkey, there's not a trace of one of them left. Those seven churches had lampstands. They spoke, you know, Jesus spoke and walked in the middle of the candlesticks. Not one light again. What am I saying to you today, my brothers and sisters? It is what we see today is the glow of the Holy Spirit. And it is my prayer that this light will never be quenched.
Amen.
That amen is too weak.
Amen.
And that the light of your life will never be quenched.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I spoke about a ministry that I went to. I was invited. This guy, if I mention the name, his books are all over the place. I'm talking about 20 years ago. I was privileged to work with Miles Monroe. Very privileged. He used to come to my church every year to preach. I would go to Bahamas, myself and my wife. You know, on one or two occasions, we go to his house personally. He'll cook for us and everything. And I'll show you later that the Lord began to tell me some things to just, you know, I'll tell you at the end if I do have the time. But then, I mean, I'm talking about 20 years ago, our church was at the cutting edge of things. When I say cutting edge, by the grace of God, we were the first person to bring John Maxwell, you know John Maxwell, the leader, to England, ever. If you're talking about as the world reckons or we in church, who is successful? Oh, 20 years ago, I'm not talking about now. 20 years ago. So this gentleman invites me. Very notable preacher in America, white guy. John Maxwell, even John Maxwell. John Bevere, Miles Morrow, where he has, you know, they were regular speakers. Mike Murdoch. So I was one of the speakers this day. There's a guy called Don Colbert, he's a doctor. Some of you might have read his books. He was there with me. And I preached the first session. They loved it. It was on, you know, powerful networking, this and that. Then the next session, I was preparing for it. And my host came to where my books were. And he picked up one of the books. On the book, he said, Sex and Seduction. He called me to the corner. I said, man of God. This pulpit is a very, very important pulpit. You see all these guys here, and he was saying the truth. He says they are millionaires. They are the richest Christians in this nation. He says they are the most influential. They make and break, blah, blah, blah. He said this book, Sex and Addictions, you can preach any other thing, but not on this topic. You can preach on any other thing, but not on this topic. Blah, blah, blah. I was shocked. Look, I wasn't even sure whether I was going to preach on that topic. He now gave me the biggest, session. Biggest session. You know, everybody was waiting to hear because I preached at a smaller session. They now upgraded me that this guy is going to fire this place. But I don't know if you've ever been there before. Where a door is opened, but the Holy Spirit is not in that door. That was the worst message I ever preached. Because I knew I was talking and the Holy Spirit... Why? I knew the Holy Spirit was grieved. I was grieved. So I just showed up because... Do you understand? So I was just talking. The place was, you know, it was dry. And I knew they would not invite me back. And I was happy they would not invite me back. If you are talking about something that will make a person's ministry explode, that was the day. And then the Lord said to me, you know, men can open a door, but I can shut it. When Paul says, a door was opened to me in Phrygia, I was about to say, and the Holy Spirit did not permit me. I knew that the Holy Spirit did not permit me. And if I forced myself to hang with that crowd and say, look, I would have become a millionaire. I know it. And the biggest pulpits in America would have been open to me. But then, the Holy Spirit would have left me. I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense to you. But even if it doesn't, I am called by just one master. I preach to the audience for the audience of one. And in an age and a day where ministry, everybody and anybody wants to do anything at any time, listen to this. God is looking for people who will walk before him and be blameless. Oh, sometimes we talk about these things, and it's easier to talk about things that happened years ago, 15 years ago, 20. Let me tell you something that happened to me recently. It happened to me last year. Can I talk to you? Somebody gave me, I was about to leave our former ministry, the denomination. A few weeks before I left, one guy in our church brought a big wad of whatever in an envelope and just put it in my hand. He said, we were talking about church and blah. He said, about raising an offering or something like that for church, blah, 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 blah. And he said, the Spirit of God told me to give, not to put it in the offering, but to give it to you. Okay, I thought to myself, okay, I understand. Yeah, it cannot, it makes sense. Because nobody here knows that I'm about to leave this ministry. I didn't tell anybody. But the Spirit of God knows. And the Spirit of God knows I will need this money in the future, innit? So what do you think? So if you were you, what will you do with that money? Please, somebody talk to me. What will you do with that money? Sorry? That's what? It's a good breakthrough money. Personal seed. Severance. God bless you. You're a good man. Severance package. This money was a lot of money. I was about to leave a ministry that had started with £250 and six people. And the ministry grew to the second out of 850 churches, the second or third largest in the denomination. So you don't even want to know what kind of finances was going through that ministry. And I left everything and didn't take a pin. So, in your own mind, would it not be justified to say, this is the Lord who just gave you this money? Do you know I did not have a release to touch that money? My children were in private school. I wasn't earning a salary. But God was supposedly supplying supernaturally. And anytime I wanted to touch that money, I thought of it. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was me. Because it was not clear. For me, anyway, 6 years, I didn't even tell my wife. Because just in case things got really tight. Who knows what I'm talking about? And not that she will ask me to spend it, but you know, where you feel like, be a man now, you have to support your family. I just kept it somewhere, and I forgot the money there. The next time I went to check it, 6 years, the rubber that they used to pack the money together, cockroaches had disintegrated. And then 6 years on, we now came to a point where it was like, there was now a big need. We were about to buy a house. And guess what? The completion of the house, that money was the exact amount that we needed. How many of you know that you will feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, Peter, rise, eat, and kill now? I still didn't feel a release. But you know what I said? Lord, I don't know. You know my heart. I don't know whether this money is mine or yours. But since to just bring a finality on any dispute or any argument, I give it to you. That's the decision I made. 1 month passed. I had forgotten that I had given it to the Lord like that. And then the need came again. This house is going, we didn't do blah, blah, blah. And it was the exact amount. So you know what? I told my wife, I said, you know what? There's this money. I'm going to give it to the Lord, but I will borrow it. I will borrow it. Since it's in no man's land, I will borrow the money. It's not the Lord's own yet. We'll use it, and in fact, I will even give more. You know, I haven't touched that money. In that night, or 2 nights later, I was sleeping, and while I was sleeping, my eyes were shut, and the snake was crawling in my bedroom, and the thing was coming towards me, and the snake climbed up on the bed, rolled, and just came under me. Like, I just blocked the snake like this. Ah, snake, what are you doing in my room? I pressed myself on the snake. If I left it, it would have struck at me. I pressed myself, and I said, what? Get out of here. And I sat on the bed. Ha! What is a snake doing in my room? What is a snake coming to look for me for? To bite me? I then remembered a message I had you preach about your pastor. After they've been collecting building fund money, isn't it? Who knows that story? And that one snake went to bite him in America where there was no bush. The Lord said, it's the same snake that came. I said, I didn't eat the church money. I didn't touch the church money. The Lord said, you didn't put your hand to touch it. But the day you said, I give it to Lord, it became my own money. So, he says, the reason why I didn't allow the snake bite you, but I let it come to you, is because, he says, you are keeping the holy thing in your house. It is not, you haven't eaten it, but the snake is around you. I didn't wait till morning before I called our accountant. Please, there's one money that is killing somebody inside our house. Please, come and take it. I don't know if you're here this today. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, help me. And there's what you call the power of the Holy Spirit. What was the first thing I said? The person and what? Second thing? The third thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, now it happened as we went to prayer. That is, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Who brought, you know that story. And then Paul turned to the spirit or to the lady and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now, and the Bible says, and that he came out, a woman with a he spirit, that very hour. Now, in many Holy Spirit conferences, if you say it's Holy Spirit conference, this is what they will start with. It's the power side. But before they give you the power side, they will tell you the standards or the regulation side. Look, it just so happened, this man is, come again, sir, come, stand, and with the wire, just be coming, come. And be unrolling it. What he's carrying has power. Before a guy would handle any electrical activity, this thing is carrying so many volts that will light up this whole place, blah, blah, blah. If this is not connected, there will be no light. But listen to this. Before he can handle it, they have to tell him about the standards, that don't handle it like this. Because if you handle it like this, it can kill you. Unfortunately, we just give people wire to hold in church. Before you can really walk in the power dimension, you need the restraint dimension. Because there are many people who have been killed, we don't know at night. Who will know? If that snake had beaten me, you'll just say it was a small man of God that died in London. God forbid. The power dimension. I don't think I'll be able to end this message right now, but I'll do my best. One day, I was invited to a conference to speak by a pastor. While I was at the conference, or rather, I was preparing for the conference, I got to the conference, and supposed conference that was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. As I got there, there was nobody in the hall. 6 p.m. conference, they had done by handbill and everything, not one person. So I went to the back of the whatever. I entered to the backyard. I saw the pastor sitting in one cubicle, like a cupboard, eating rice with his hand. Conference. I was grieved. let's leave the Holy Spirit. I was grieved. So we now, because I had prepared, we now went inside the conference, supposed conference. We got there and we said, instrumentalist plus instrumentalist, count backwards, forward, all of us together, maybe 9. Inside conference. So let's say, plus praise and worship leader, everybody together, you get, plus the backing singer and instrumentalist, maybe 11, including pastor, his wife and the child, and myself. So, I kept looking backwards. Where are the people? Where are the people? I was mad. This guy should have just called it a house fellowship. And while this house fellowship was going on, the worship was very powerful. And so, I just lost myself in it. I said, look, let me just enter God's presence. I was just worshiping. And then, as I was worshiping, I just heard in my right ear, if you can worship like this, create an atmosphere where you worship like this, and worship so powerfully, I will come down and heal and deliver the people. I heard it. Today, we hold something called Breakthrough Nights. That's what we did last Friday. I go to Houston, Canada. I don't know anybody there. I just carry worship leaders. And the power of God is so strong. People are healed. People are delivered and all of that. But you know what? It started in that place. From a whisper. The very first meeting that I had, we just gathered people. And as people were gathered, as it were, you know, we were worshiping. I wasn't going to preach anything. Worshiping. All of a sudden, I just looked to the left of the congregation. And I, because in my mind's eye, I saw somebody, a woman, holding her head and doing like this. But when I looked, there was nobody there. So I continued worshiping. About 10 minutes later, I looked in that direction. There was a woman there doing exactly what I saw, like this. And the power of God hit her. Bang! Deliverance happened. I was like, what? How did I come? From going to a meeting where the Spirit of God whispered into my ears. Is this gentleman a member of this church? I don't know him. I don't know what he's about. But watch this guy. The Lord said to me that this guy is like my son, not physically. I don't know if God will use you in the ministry like that, but in the marketplace, God is going to use you extraordinarily. My son graduated from Cambridge with the first class, political science. Yeah. I won't say much more than this. There's a grace upon this man to be distinguished. I don't know if you know him. There's a certain grace that is unusual on you. In the next few years, people will see it. I see you standing in front of the United Nations, giving talks. I see research, you doing research on national events and giving advice to government. It's not part of but the Holy Spirit is the one that is in control of this. You may be seated so I can finish my message. I think I will end with this story and then I'll pray with you. 4 years ago, my wife's sister died while I was in America. I was on the way to a place in Canada, Calgary, Canada. I was distraught. I called my wife and I said, should I be coming back home now? She said, look, don't bother. Just go to the ministry. Anyway, I went to Calgary. And I don't know if you've ever been there as a minister where you are in a place but you don't want to minister. Because we are human. We have emotions. I mean, I was saying to myself, Lord, how can you do this to me? You want me to minister, you have been telling the people that you are good. And I don't feel you are good right now. In fact, I said, if not for the fact that those people paid for my ticket there, and they are the ones that will pay for my ticket home, I will tell them cancel. And so, Sunday morning, I was reluctant to actually go to church. And this is how reluctant I was. They called it a prophetic meeting or a miracle service. When there's a miracle service, I don't eat, so I can be sensitive. That morning, I ate breakfast. I said, Lord, you and I are not talking. I ate it well. I said, let's see where we are going to with this one. And I was ironing my shirt when I heard in my right ear that there is a woman coming to this place and she's from Cameroon. She's been married for years. She doesn't have any children. And then I heard, and the crocodile has been eating up her babies. I look back, who is that? Only that I've worked with God for years and I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then I said to myself, but Lord, I'm not talking to you. So why are you talking to me now? And so I went for the service. I started ministering as I was saying, and I said, this woman, how will I know? She said, I will show you. You just go with me. And so I mentioned somebody. I said that there's somebody here that not too long from now, God is going to single you out. Oh, nobody shouted amen here. Amen. It's too late. It's too late. Because the moment I said that, one woman stood up on that side and shouted, amen! And the Lord said, that's the woman. And as she said that, I said, come forward. I said, do you know? Remember, I'm not talking to God now, so I have to be careful. So I said, do you know anybody from Cameroon? She said, yes, I'm from Cameroon. I said, okay. I said, do you know anybody who is looking for children, has been married for? Said, I've been married for 5 years, no children. How many of you know that out of three, I got the two was correct? So I then reached the last one, which was the most interesting one. How do you tell somebody crocodiles have been eating our babies? So she was standing in front of me. I was looking at the pastor. I was looking at myself. I was getting ready that let me just say this word and just run. I said, the Lord said I should tell you that crocodiles have been eating your babies. She just looked at me like, and she looked at the pastor like, almost like, is this guy okay? And so I noticed one man started coming from the back. And then he whispered into the ear of the pastor. I thought the man was telling the pastor that, should we carry him out? Then the pastor now came towards me. So as he was coming towards me, I was already giving him the mic that, don't worry, you don't have to carry me. I will just walk out myself. And he didn't take the mic. He just whispered into my ear. He said, that man that came to speak to me is her husband. He's Cameroonian. And he says his surname in Cameroonian language means crocodile. I would have told you many stories, but for sake of time, I will leave it at this. The last one, and I will just leave it with you, is that the protection of the Spirit. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will also protect you. The Bible says in Acts 21:10, it says, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, you become a watchman. When danger comes, the same Holy Spirit that said, don't go here, will tell you, don't go there because you will die there if you go. I told you, I used to be very close to Dr. Miles Morrow. A few years before he died, I had a dream where I saw myself and himself at an airport, and there was a storm. And he got up and he said he had to get to Nassau, Bahamas. He had a meeting there. And we were supposed to fly in his private jet together. And I held him by the waist and I said, don't go, don't go, don't go. And he said, no, he has a meeting. He has to go. I have to go. I said, I just heard it on the radio tower. You know those things that they said, don't fly. It is dangerous. I said, no, I have to go. I said, this is where we will part ways. So he went. And I said, this is where we'll part ways. In my own, when I woke up, I didn't understand the dream. I just felt the Holy Spirit was saying, step back. As much as I love the man, I step back. Do you know that is how he died 3 years after? He was flying in a private jet with his wife. There was a storm. And he was rushing back to a meeting in Nassau. And he stunned. The storm, his plane hit a crane because of poor visibility. I know that dream was a prophetic dream about what was going to come. I didn't know that. But you know what? There was a slim possibility or a chance of how close I was to him that I could have been on that plane myself. Have you heard of Pastor Bimba Odukoya? She was very close to myself and my wife. So close. She was one of the people that recommended my wife to me. She will come to my house, at least preach in my church, our church for at least 3 times a year. I was here. Abuja, went to Kaduna. We had my mentor, a prayer meeting. Friday is the last thing, and then we'll pray. Friday, and we were supposed to finish on Sunday. My wife was itchy and edgy and saying she had to go to Abuja because Pastor Bimbo was coming to preach at a conference in Abuja, and she wanted to meet her in Abuja before she flew in from Lagos for just that afternoon. She was going to fly to Port Harcourt, and my wife was, her mind was not at that, my own prayer meeting. He said, this is your own mentor, that's my own mentor. And my wife was saying, look, can she go today instead of staying on Sunday? I said, please, we have to honor my mentor. He said we should stay till Sunday. Said, no, please, can we go? She was begging me that she wants to fly with her, that I'm the one preaching in Abuja, that we will meet in Lagos. She will go with Pastor Bimbo Adukoya. I said, can we please honor my mentor? Can we stay? Then I said, okay, can I at least, let's go to him and ask him. So we went and asked my mentor that, can she go? He did like this. He said, okay, I would rather you didn't go, but if you can wait till the end of this particular session this evening, I want to pray because I picked up death, an assignment of death on your life. He asked, how old is your son now? He said, 7 years old. He said, Shola, your mom died some years ago. I said, yes. He said, how old were you? I said, 7 years old. He said, there's something that needs to be broken. So, he laid hands on her, prayed for her. He says, you can go now. We were running on that Kaduna, Abuja road, rushing. My wife was saying, ah, please, please, before we got there, they had left. She was upset. Oh, if we had only left, you know, blah, 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 blah. We slept. We woke up to the news that Pastor Bims that had just left, the plane that she was flying to Port Harcourt never landed. It crashed and she died. My wife was supposed to be in that plane crash. Jeez. What stopped it? The person of the Holy Spirit, a little whisper. He forbade us to go into Mysia. What has the Holy Spirit restrained or forbade you from doing? Let's stand up and pray. What has he said you should not do? That you are crying and complaining about. Listen to this. What he stopped you from doing is to protect you. Oh, what minister of God or man of God that you wanted to follow, and the Holy Spirit said, don't. And you thought, that's my breakthrough. He said, no, that will be your breakdown. Lift up your hands wherever and begin to speak to the Holy Spirit. Some of you, because you refuse to hear, you've grieved him. He's a person. We can hear and preach doctrine and with you know line upon line and tell you the Greek of this and the whatever of this, but no, we don't want you to just hear about him. We want you to handle him. Some of you, you know that the volume of his voice was much higher. Now, it's almost like in a faint distance because he's speaking to you now from afar. Because he's holy, the way you live right now is not in tandem with his holiness. So he's had to be speaking to you from afar. My assignment and mission here today is to rekindle that fire that was quenched. Thank you. Come on, sing that song. Can I get somebody to sing that song for a few minutes, please, quickly? A miracle service by the grace of God, but I just want to say something the Holy Spirit put upon my heart. As I was praying, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was praying for this service. The Lord just told me to do something very prophetic. Many people know about it, SGLT. The gentleman that led me to the Lord is a professor of cardiothoracic surgery. He lived with Pastor SGLT in Elisha for his whole youth service year. He was like his son. So he's told me and taught me so many things about Pa Elton. But the point I want to make is this. I'm not sure, but I'm sure you would have heard this story or this illustration. I believe it was Pa Elton that said that God showed him that Africa, like a gun, and that the nozzle is South Africa, something like that. The trigger is Nigeria. and you shoot through the trigger, isn't it? And things are propelled to the rest of the world. I'm coming to that. I need to pray for this gentleman. Yes, you sitting down. I saw a gun pointing at you. Maybe at night I will do so. Don't take it for granted. We will intervene and protect you. You are somebody who has been marked by God. But there's a target on your life. And this week, it will be broken. The same way they were looking for Paul to kill him, they will not find you. You are divinely protected. In the name of Jesus. And he spoke about a gun. And he said that Nigeria is the trigger. And you know what the Lord showed me? That guns, pistols, where do they usually have them? Is this called a hustler or something like that? In a belt. What is this place called? The middle belt. The Lord says, Makodi has become where that gun is situated in the belt. It's a serious mandate and a privilege, because that gun has been hosted in various parts over the years. And then the Lord said that from Makodi, this is what the Lord told me. Psalm 127, it says, blessed, it says, children are what? His heritage. And blessed is the man who has what? His quiver full of them. Something called a book called A Quiver Full of Arrows. And the Lord says that Makodi, this place, is a quiver full of arrows, from which shall be shot arrows into the various nations of the world. That from this place he will identify and locate people. That this place is going to be an international hub. And these are the signs, these are the things that the Lord showed me as signs. Listen to this. I was able to link into your, I mean, while Apostle opened up the meeting, your meeting, and it was, I mean, Pastor Mrs. was introducing the various nations and all of that. And you know, you came on and you were talking about people from United, and then the Lord said, haven't you seen this before? Where did you last see this? And I remembered, ITWLA conference in Bahamas, no, suburb Bahamas with Miles Monroe, where people used to travel in from various nations of the world. Oh, Nassau is far, because God hosted a man. Listen to this. If you go to Bahamas, people will tell you it is Miles that made Nassau popular. The tourism trade I'm sure Miles was responsible for 60% of it. People, there are ship cruises that come through Nassau. When you come down from the people, everybody is asking, where is Dr. Miles' church? Even in his death. My brother, this is a phenomenal privilege. It's a phenomenal privilege. God is making Makodi the center of the universe of something he's doing. Oh, I don't think you are hearing or seeing what I'm seeing. I traveled into Lagos. We landed at the usual motel, you know, all the issues and all of that. And I was like, this is not right. This is the most populous black nation in the world. The largest economy, as it were, as in, you know, in terms of size, in Africa. Where investors should be landing in this nation. And I said, the gate of the nation, which is the airport, is blocked. We were driving past the new airport when I looked at, and I said, "What's? Look at this new. There are lights and everything." And I said, "Why isn't it being used?" They said, "Oh." I said, "Is it being used?" The guy pushing the trolley said, "Only airpiece lands there." I was confused. This big airport. And then I asked somebody, "Why would that be the case?" They said, "In the building of the airport, they found out that the runway or the whatever is too small for big airplanes like Virgin, Air France, KLM." I said, "Isn't that sad? That a national airport is being built and somebody did not factor the size of the planes." And then on my way here, I heard that Makurdi has an airport which has been built, and it has the longest runway in the country. Could it be that God just moved the spiritual capital? Now, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Could it just be that, oh, no, they will open up that one. But it cannot be by chance. That is, when the nation's attention is coming to Makurdi and something significant is happening in Makurdi, and those of us who are international guests, put up your hand. Those of us, yeah, put up your hand. So you have to go, come through high and whatever water to get here, through the eye of the belly of the snake, to get here, to travel here. You know what I'm talking about. It's not that bad, but you know what I'm talking about. These people are determined people. Clap for them. I've been preaching, ministering non-stop for the last 4 weeks. I'm exhausted. And the last thing I needed was a 4-hour drive. Yeah, but I was determined. But you see, God is about to open up the airways. Makurdi, get ready. I don't want to take any more of your time, but I think it's important to say this. I see this ministry as a plumb line ministry. That where an adulterated kind of the gospel has gone out to the nations from this nation over the years, God is bringing correction here. Amen. From this point, especially from Africa, where people will come. Listen to this. There was a certain lady, I don't know much about her, I don't care about the political side, it's just a prophetic symbolism that God gave me. She was called Dora Akinyuli, I think, or something like that. She's late, okay, but she is the one that brought some kind of, she was a pharmacologist or a pharmacist, some kind of standard of, the NAFDAC. Why? Because she knows that the, please tell me how much time I really have, because I don't, you know, she knows, yeah, that I actually spoke with her personally when she came to England, and she was telling why she's so virulent about this. She said something that really, she said, when somebody sells fake drugs, they think they are only selling it for their own commercial purposes, but they don't know what it is that they are doing. If somebody, I'm a medical doctor, if somebody has malaria, and there's a cure for it, it's called chloroquine. You give them this white thing, and you tell them, this is chloroquine, but it is really chalk. It looks like chloroquine, but it is really chalk. What you are doing is that you've presented something to them that looked like the promise of a snatching from death, but you just killed them. And this is what has happened with the gospel until now. We tell them it is the gospel. It's supposed to save them and to help them. And there are people who meet in thousands in places and they are being given chalk. The person who is taking adulterated chloroquine is taking it with the belief that he's going to be healed after taking this thing. But what he doesn't know is that he's going to die after that. And what the Lord is doing is that he's raised this ministry as a ministry that will give spiritual NAFDAC numbers to ministers. People will come from Congo. They will come from South Africa, from Kenya, Zimbabwe. What they have heard over the airways that was adulterated, putrefied, degenerate, God will, through this ministry, purify. Ministries that had been, as it were, they were killers by what they were preaching. Some did it deliberately. Others will hear messages from this place and from people that leave this place, as it were, and come to repentance. God will restore them. This will be the training ground. Listen to this. I don't have any reason to pump up any man. I think I don't need to. I don't need places to preach at. I turn down most of them. I come into town and hide and not let my people know that I'm in town. If I accepted to come to this place, even at the supposed risk of my life, there is something that God is doing here. I've traveled to nations for revival. Ghana, Ukraine, I'm not joking, looking for God. Bethel, Reading, Chicago, conferences, looking for God. I've been as far as Argentina, looking for God. Listen to this. When I find God in a place, there's a flame in this place. There's a flame in this place. Don't quench it. God bless you. May God honor you. May God keep you.
Please make it stronger. Make it